And let's go live on Facebook also.
All right.
Hello and welcome to this WAP Doesn't Lie podcast, a show about what are Bitcoins? Are Bitcoins leaving you legally unprotected should anything go wrong? Call and tell us what you think. Now here's your host, Felix Andreoni.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love that applause. We got Ann in the house.
Hi, everyone.
And we have a special guest, Blockchain DXB.
Welcome.
Blockchain is in the house. Now, we're running live on Podbean, and the app is free. So.
And maybe you could give out the number to start our calls tonight.
We have two ways you guys can call in. We're waiting for Blockchain to call in.
Mm-hmm.
You got two ways. You could call us in through the Podbean app. And the app is free. Let's connect with Blockchain.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I could hear you guys. I couldn't hear it ringing for some odd reason.
Oh, that's strange. How is it now?
Yeah, it's much better now.
All right. Well, we're live on Podbean, and I was telling them the app is free, and it's a fantastic app. You can listen to Blockchain also. If you follow me, follow Blockchain DXB, and we're also running live on Facebook. We have a video running on Facebook. The show tonight is about Bitcoins. And this is the only area that I'm a dummy in. And
the only, eh?
Hey, that is. And the thing is, what I read about this is, I read about all the big shots, the people that own, you know, Mr. What's his name that owns Amazon. And he said he wants nothing basically to do with Bitcoins. And then someone told me you have to create a wallet in the Bitcoins. Other people are saying they're not regulated. They're going to crash someday. No one out there, maybe Blockchain can enlighten me. No one out there has explained to me, first of all, where the hell did they come from? I read some guy, Chinese guy. And how do you obtain these Bitcoins? Someone told me you have to run a program. And they told me the program to run to mine Bitcoins, I'll be dead and buried before I come up with one.
Shout out to Joy, who's joined us on Facebook.
So Blockchain, enlighten us a little.
So let me just tell you the history of Bitcoin as to why Bitcoin was created.
Okay.
Now, the whole idea for creating Bitcoin was purely separation of money from the state.
Okay.
So, you know, at a really macro level, what you're talking about is separation of money and the state. Now,
is that very important in China or in other countries?
All over the world.
Our banking system is regulated, certainly, and there's a lot of reasons to go under the radar, shall we say. So, I would hope that another reason that you would get involved in Bitcoin was to make some money. That it wouldn't all be for devious means, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And think of it like, you know, separation of religion and the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at how things worked like 100 or 200 years ago. So at a really macro level, the whole idea about creating Bitcoin was separation of money and the state.
Okay.
Just a quick example of what Bitcoin is. You can send money from one person to another without the need of a middle person, which means there is no government involved.
So there's no regulation.
There's no intermediary, I think you said.
Yeah, we look at regulation just in a little bit, but there is no central government involved, which means there is no KYC. Now, how this thing works is it purely works peer-to-peer. Now, I can send you Bitcoin. I can receive Bitcoins. There's no geographical restrictions, which means you can send Bitcoin from let's say, from America to China, America
all over the world.
Apps all over the world. There's absolutely no restriction.
Okay.
The thing is, it cannot be canceled.
It cannot be?
Cannot be canceled. Absolutely cannot be canceled.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean by canceled? So meaning you can't be taxed on it, or you?
You can be taxed on it. There, we will look at taxation just a little bit later on. But let's say, if you want to send, let's say, 1,000 Bitcoin to someone in North Korea, you can do that. Mm-hmm. If you want to send 10,000 Bitcoin to someone in Iran, now the negative aspect of it is sanctions. Is this one of the ways to you know, get rid of sanctions? And the answer is yes. So the whole idea of why Bitcoin was created, but I don't dwell into the regulations bit because you might automatically have a negative impression of Bitcoin. But the whole idea at the macro level of why Bitcoin was created was to eliminate the need of, you know, the government or central bank or anyone to be involved. Now it works only peer-to-peer, which means there is no central bank, no PayPal, no Western Union involved. Now, the beauty about Bitcoin is you can send $10 million, $200 million, $800 million. There's absolutely no one who's going to question why you've gone ahead and sent it. And the transaction cannot be stopped.
Now, but what about, let's say I sent you $10 million in Bitcoins. What?
Yeah.
How do you cash that in without being questioned?
Now, the first thing is, if you were to ask this to an actual Bitcoiner, or, you know, the term that they use is a Bitcoin maximalist, they would say that I do not want to cash it out because I want to live off Bitcoin. But if you do want to cash it out, you can go to a cryptocurrency exchange.
Okay.
So I'm sure you kind of heard of Coinbase, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
So you can, there are two types of exchanges. One of them is a centralized exchange like Coinbase or Binance. These guys in turn would do a KYC. They would they will make sure that the documentation that you provide to them are legitimate, stating that, you know, the Bitcoins that you have received are from a legitimate source.
Okay.
And, you know, the Bitcoin. So they in turn would do KYC, but there are also decentralized exchanges. Now, what decentralized exchanges are, it again works on a principle of Bitcoin. No one knows where these decentralized exchanges are. Now, the best way, if you want to use decentralized exchange, there is a website called bitcoinlocals.com. Let me just type it.
Yeah, Bitcoin, put it in the
locals. Now, let's say if you want to withdraw cash, you go to bitcoinlocals.com. This works similar to eBay. So you get a list of buyers and sellers. Now, if you have a buyer who's willing to buy $10 million worth of Bitcoin, without any KYC, you can go ahead and do that as well.
I would think, though, if I'm playing in the Bitcoin space, I would want to do all of my commerce in Bitcoin. Why convert it back to traditional coin, you know, FAIT standard? I would just play in Bitcoin. I mean, at this point in October here in the States, you can use PayPal. Via PayPal, you can pay for something with Bitcoin. So if I was going to go the Bitcoin route, I probably would stay in Bitcoin and do all my commerce there. Why convert it back to traditional funds? For what reason?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, there are two thoughts of it.
Oh, yeah. My question is, my million-dollar question is, and I know we have a lot of people listening, how does someone obtain Bitcoins?
Three ways.
How does someone get Bitcoins? And I heard about mining. Running a program. Now, listen, you could tell me if I'm right or wrong, because I know nothing about this. And I used the program and I figured it out with a calculator. It would take me 40 years to obtain one Bitcoin.
Well, there's three ways I know of you can get Bitcoin. You can buy it with quote-unquote real money.
Yeah.
You can sell things and let people pay you in Bitcoin.
I don't want to do that. How do I obtain it?
Or you can create it using a computer. Those are the three ways I know.
Now, blockchain, is that feasible?
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing with Bitcoin is now, I've been involved in Bitcoin since 2013.
Okay.
The reward for Bitcoin has changed over time. If you would have asked me this question, let's say way back in 2012 and 13, mm-hmm. Bitcoin mining would have been a good option.
Right.
But mm-hmm. right now, how Bitcoin is designed, Bitcoin mining, your returns is less than 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if you were to put $1 million, you would not get more than 10% returns because it's way too expensive at the moment. It's extremely expensive.
But if I'm an American investor, I'm getting at the most 2.3% in any traditional banking institution. I mean, if I'm going to play the stock market, you know, that's, you know, another whole discussion. But it is an attractive alternative for some people if they want something to be, you know, a little more stable.
Yeah, but then, you know, what about the price of Bitcoin? As you know, just yesterday it was $64,000. And right now,
yep.
It's $50,000. So, you know, you also have to. Now, the beauty about this is how, and this is going back to some of the basics of Bitcoin, how much Bitcoin you can earn and how much you need to actually spend. Everything is open source. Now, mm-hmm. what you can do is, you know, unlike the banking system, and this is where Bitcoin is the whole idea of separation of money from the state. We do not know how much the US is printing. We do not know how much the UK government is printing. But mm-hmm. when it comes to Bitcoin, you know exactly how much Bitcoins are being printed and what is the cost associated with that. Now, you don't even need to be in the Bitcoin system. What you can do is on Google, you just type in Bitcoin Explorer. Let me just type that.
All right.
Bitcoin Explorer. Now, if you go to Bitcoin Explorer, it tells you real time how many Bitcoins are in existence. Mm-hmm. It also tells you the exact cost. How much does it cost to actually mine a Bitcoin? Now, the exact cost would be a little bit different depending on, you know, the electric usage. So let's say, you know, electricity is cheap in, let's say, in Iran. So mm-hmm. or electricity is expensive in USA or UK. But at least you have an idea in the sense you know how many Bitcoins are in existence. How many transactions are being used? And one very, very important thing, and this probably is the most important thing about Bitcoin. If I were to send you 2 Bitcoin, everyone in the Bitcoin ecosystem knows that I have sent you 2 Bitcoins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you guys were aware about it. This is one of the most important things.
And why is that?
That's the whole idea, because it is built on an open source platform. So mm-hmm. if you were to send 10 Bitcoins to someone else, everyone in the ecosystem knows that you have sent 10 Bitcoins, and you can actually check it on the Bitcoin Explorer. Now, when I say everyone knows, they don't know the person's name. If I were to send you two Bitcoins, and this is where the wallet kicks in. The moment I sign into a wallet, it produces, think of it like a username, but the username is a series of numbers, which mm-hmm. is called as the public address. So if I want to send you Bitcoin, I log into my wallet, and what I do is I send the money to your public address. Now think of public, public address as your bank account number.
Yes.
Now, your bank account number is different to your debit card or your credit card number, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to give your debit card or your credit card number out to people.
Yes.
But you can give your bank account number. So these numbers are something which is, you know, available in the Bitcoin Explorer. So if you go to Google and just look at Bitcoin Explorer, all you will see is just a series of numbers. But now think of that. If the U.S. government, and this is at an extreme macro level, imagine the U.S. government were to share its spendings as to where they have spent the money. And if that is on Bitcoin, everyone, as not only an American citizen, everyone in the world would know, the government promised to spend, let's say, 20 Bitcoins on the bridge. Have they actually spent 20 Bitcoins in making this bridge? Or they were supposed to spend 30 Bitcoins as stimulus check. Have they actually gone ahead and spent 30 Bitcoins on stimulus check? So you can check all those things on the Bitcoin Explorer. Is that easy or is that confusing?
I have a question. If you're pushing money to somebody's wallet, is it always hot, or can you send it to somebody's, you know, cold wallet, disconnected from the internet?
No, there are different types of wallet. Firstly, there are different types of wallet.
Okay.
There is a wallet. There's the first wallet, and the easiest one to use is like a web page.
Like, sure.
You know, like the second one is a software.
Okay.
So you download a software. Now, this software can be connected to the internet, or you can just switch it off as well.
I'll tell you what I asked the question is, I work in real estate, who cares? But sometimes we're trying to check out somebody's net worth.
Yeah.
So the way you've described it, it kind of sounds like not that their name is on there, but if I know their account number, series of numbers, I would be able in an open system, be able to figure out how many Bitcoins they own. Is that true?
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. So the public address ideally should show how many Bitcoins he or she has. But if you're talking about real estate, then there are the third type of wallet, which is a hot wallet and cold wallet. So usually for a higher number of Bitcoins, because it has a lot of security, you may want to use a hot wallet or cold wallet. So let's say if you're speaking about one or two Bitcoins, because hot wallet and cold wallet, you need to buy a special device for that. But to answer your question, if someone in real estate wants to buy a property and they say that, you know, hey, I want to pay you in Bitcoin, and you want to know that does this person actually hold X number of Bitcoins?
Right. It's kind of like a letter of credit, but it's not. Right.
Yeah. They should be in a position to show you the public address. And that public address should tell you that this person has X number of Bitcoins.
Okay. Can you describe an instance when the value of Bitcoin drops? What causes Bitcoin, I'll call it value, to drop? What kind of influences?
The one latest example is something what happened in the last 24 hours. You know, Joe Biden, he's just put out, some kind of taxation thing, isn't it? I'm not sure what the tax. That is one of the major things. Now, ironically, and this is something really, really strange, if you actually go back to 2019, if you go to the 1st of April 2019, on 1st of April, someone actually put out a tweet stating that the SEC had an emergency meeting to grant an emergency ETF. And the price actually shot up. Yeah, which a lot of them, even people in the Bitcoin space, they would not agree to it. But if you actually go out and check it, even a tweet like that does actually increase the price. And something which happened in the last 24 hours is, you know, Joe Biden has some new taxation policies. That's one of the reasons why the price has gone down. Another thing which happened a few days ago, probably around a week ago, there was a blackout in China, and some of the mining facilities got affected.
Sure.
And that was I think it's more than the actual event, it's more the news that causes an impact to the price.
So so from just as a individual investor, the scary part about Bitcoin is that there are global influences.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Not that there aren't global influences on the U.S. Treasury. Well, I can see that's true.
That is all aspects of investing. Global influence determines even, you know, the stock market, everything.
But not individual stocks. It's more just, you know, like there's more of a segmentation. So certainly there's risk in the stock market and there's risk in treasury bonds and all that other stuff. But I think that's the scary part to people is that this is truly global.
Well,
it's a solution.
The other question I have is, let's say someone wants to mine Bitcoins and they run this program on their computer. And I know it uses a lot of power.
I think it's computers in order to find what you need.
What does this program actually do? And what does it send out and to whom?
Now, this is an excellent. Do you want to add some points?
No.
What Bitcoin mining, all it does is it just solves a mathematical problem. That's all that it does. So all of the energy that is used in Bitcoin mining essentially goes to just solving a mathematical puzzle. So all it does is, you know, it uses your computer power, the electricity, in just getting a string of numbers. That's all that it does.
And what does it do with these numbers?
This number provides the proof that I am the owner of Bitcoin. You are the owner of Bitcoin. Joe Biden is the owner of Bitcoin. What this number does is it provides a proof that people who have spent Bitcoin in the last 10 minutes are the actual owners of Bitcoin. That's all that it is.
Oh.
Yeah. So let me
all
just...
Right. What?
Let me just give you...
What do you...
Go on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying...
Go ahead.
Let me just give you a bit of background and I'll try to keep it down in less than a minute or so.
No problem.
What Bitcoin does is it uses a hashing algorithm called a SHA-256. Now, it's a fun thing to just go to Google and type in SHA-256. If you type in an alphabet A, it automatically gives you a set fixed of numbers, which is around about 256 digits in numbers. If you put in an entire movie, it'll still give you a set fixed of numbers. So if you go to Google, and this is the basics on why Bitcoin is so powerful and effective. Now, if you put the entire world data into the SHA-256 program, it will still give you exactly 256 digit number. So the numbers would be the same irrespective of what you put in. But this is the interesting bit. If you were to change even one teeny tiny bit, the number changes completely. It's a bit hard to explain that over the phone, but let's say if you were to check it on Google, just type in the letter A, and you would see, if you type in A on SHA-256 program, you would see a series of numbers. The moment you type in A dot, you'll see that the numbers are completely different.
Different.
Yes.
So this is really a software-driven cryptology is what this is.
Yeah. And
would you agree?
And that is exactly what the miner does. What the miner does is when you log into your wallet, at the back end, it checks, you know, your private key, your public key. Those are hashed few times over, then it goes into the blockchain. So all the miner does, it just makes sure that when you type in A, are you getting the same number of digits? They use that, and that is something which happens in the background when you're talking about mining. So that's why you
now say, there a limit? I read there's a limit to Bitcoins. It reaches a certain amount and it ends.
Absolutely correct. And this goes back to, you know, the whole separation of money and the state. The whole idea of starting Bitcoin was that they realized that, you know, the government can print the US dollar at their will. They can print money whenever you want. Just recently in the US, they printed $9 trillion.
Yeah, outrageous.
But in Bitcoin, there will only be 21 million Bitcoins in existence.
So what happens after that?
After that, which is, I think, going to 2000, 100 euros. After that, the miners, they will only be earning fees. So they will still be mining, but the miners back then, they would only be earning fees. So going back to the example, if I send you 2 bitcoins, there is also a fee associated to that. Now, the fee is really tiny. It might be like, Now, one very, very important thing, when you're sending bitcoins from one person to another, the fee does not depend on the amount. So let's say on your traditional banking system, the fee depends on the amount, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
With reference to Bitcoin, the fee does not depend on the amount. It depends on the speed of when you send it. So I could send you, let's say, $800 million worth of Bitcoin at maybe $2 or $3 fees. At the same time, I can send you $50 worth of Bitcoin with $20 fees. It depends on the speed. So one thing very important is that the fees is not based on the amount. Rather, it's based on the speed.
How many, where are we in terms of the number of Bitcoins right now, knowing the max is 21 million?
At the moment, what you can do is you can go to Bitcoin Explorer. And this is the beauty of it. You can just go to Bitcoin Explorer and you can check it real time.
All right.
You can also go to, what happens is the Bitcoin gets updated every 10 minutes.
Okay.
So at the moment right now, you have 18,689,587 Bitcoins.
Oh. So 18 million.
So it's close.
Well, close. Millions.
Yeah. So every 10 minutes, there's 6.25 Bitcoins which are going to be mined.
Okay.
Now, you know something? I find everything you said, I find it extremely interesting. And let me ask you a question. Since you have started, do you have any regrets or are you happy about the way things have been going with you personally?
With me personally, yes, I have been happy because if I'm being completely honest, I got most of my Bitcoins for less than $30. So extremely happy.
I hope you got a lot of them.
And going back to, I think you had asked initially that, you know, what are the ways that you can get Bitcoin?
Yes.
There are a lot of cryptocurrency exchanges like Coinbase being one of them, where you can also earn cryptocurrency for free.
Right.
Now, because all these exchanges...
Robinhood is a famous one.
And how do you earn them for free?
It's very simple. These exchanges realize that, you know, people don't understand what cryptocurrency is. So they have a learn and earn program. So you go to the website, you search for learn and earn. So they will tell you, okay, how Bitcoin works. The same thing, you know, what we talked about mining. They will tell you those things. Mm-hmm. You complete all of those and then you go ahead and earn. Not Bitcoin, but right now there are, I think, 8 or 9 different types of cryptocurrencies that you can earn.
Right.
Once you earn that, you can exchange it for Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency like Dogecoin.
Ethereum is popular here. Litecoin is popular here. There's a few cryptologies, currencies.
I'm going to look into that.
I think as of now, as we speak, there are over 9,400 different types of cryptocurrencies.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot, yeah. And you're asking how many Bitcoins. So the number of Bitcoin mines reduces by half every 4 years. So it is 6.25 Bitcoins are mined every 10 minutes, or roughly every 10 minutes. Somewhere in 2024... the Bitcoin reward would drop down to 3.25 or 3.12 Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. So as a miner, if you're investing in mining, you need to know that in return, what you would get is only 3.12 Bitcoins.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and when Bitcoin started way back in 2009, you could get 50 Bitcoins every 10 minutes. And yes, you could
I should have started that.
You could get it on a laptop as well, sir.
And now I understand to mine Bitcoins through your a laptop or computer, your computer has to be the, you know, top of the line, correct?
To be honest, you cannot do it with a laptop. You need an entire building. You need an entire building. Maybe thousands and thousands of computers with, you know, it's very expensive at the moment. The amount of energy consumed per day, it is the equivalent of maybe an entire country like Ireland's
electricity
consumption for a day. Yeah. Again, all it does is, you know, it just solves a mathematical puzzle and just essentially does nothing. It just, you know, just solves the series of numbers. That's so it.
Is this what you do for a living or do you do other things?
Me personally, I don't work right now because I have a lot of Bitcoin. So I literally don't do anything. But yeah, what I do is, you know, I listen to podcasts and I do consultation and training.
On Bitcoins or other subjects?
I do on other things as well. So another thing, like there are different types of Bitcoin. So there is Bitcoin Cash. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of it or not.
No, I haven't heard of that.
So there are different forks of Bitcoin. So let's say when Bitcoin started, because there is no central government or middle person owning it, it's the community which decides. Let's say if the community disagrees with certain aspects of Bitcoin, let's say they say, hey, you know what? We don't want 6.25. We want 10 Bitcoins mined every year. You can create your own separate Bitcoin as well. So, so there are different forks of Bitcoin. The biggest one is Bitcoin Cash. Then you have Bitcoin SV, which is Bitcoin Satoshi Vision, Bitcoin ABC. Now, do you want to hear a crazy thing? Every time there is a fork, you automatically get new coins completely free. Let's say you have, so let's say you have 1,000 Bitcoins. If there is a new fork, let's say Bitcoin Cash, you automatically get 1,000 Bitcoin Cash for literally doing nothing.
Interesting.
Wow.
And the price of Bitcoin Cash at one point of time was as much as what Bitcoin was. It's gone down right now. Now there's further forks of that as well. So, you know, these are things, you know, if you're buying Bitcoin, you just need to be aware about it. And the moment there is a fork, you need to check what kind of wallet you have. Does your wallet give you the option to go ahead and take those free new coins or does it not?
Yes.
And some of the exchanges, they would tell you that, hey, you know what? We don't like this new fork of Bitcoin. So we are going to say, no, you cannot go ahead and take it. So in that case, what you can do is you can take off your Bitcoin from this cryptocurrency exchange and put it onto another one.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm sure you have heard of Dogecoin as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Now see, Dogecoin is also a fork of Bitcoin. So, you know, there are different forks of Bitcoin.
So where do you see this going, like in 2 or 3 years from now?
Well, they're going to reach the max, right? And for Bitcoin specifically.
There is a guy called Willie Wu. And there is Pantera Capital. It's an American company. I'm not sure if you've heard of Pantera Capital.
It sounds familiar.
If you follow them on Twitter, now what I would urge you to do is check their previous prediction. They predicted Bitcoin, and this is something they predicted way back in 2020 as well, that it'll go to 60,000. Their prediction is that it could go to $400,000 by the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
By the end of what?
I bet you you'll be doing a dance then, right?
So, but, you know, again, it depends. There are a lot of macro factors as well. Like, you know, if Joe Biden decides to take some action or if there's some kind of...
Which he's going to. He's going to raise... He's going to raise the tax on the wealthy.
Or it's going to be deemed senile. And then you have Harris, which is a wild card. There's many things that can happen.
You know, another question I have, why do you think, from what I read online, like Jeff Bezos and the people that, you know, the guy that owns Amazon, the guy who owns Facebook. These are like billionaires. Why do you think they're staying away from Bitcoins? Because everything I read, what they write is negative about it.
Now, the only people who I know disagree with Bitcoin is maybe Bill Gates, Ray Dalio, and maybe Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
I have no idea as to why. But, you know, Facebook, they actually like Bitcoin. So one of the biggest players are the, I'm not sure, you know, the twin brothers who started Facebook.
Yes.
They have an exchange called Gemini Exchange in US.
All right.
They are one of the biggest drivers of Bitcoin, in fact, even Facebook. Facebook is starting their own cryptocurrency called Facebook. Wow. It's called as Facebook DM. It's but it's spelled Facebook DIEM. Let me just type that.
Now, can you buy into that now?
Facebook DIEM. Now, Facebook DIEM, this works a little bit different because it's not like Bitcoin. It will be controlled. It will be managed by Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Now Facebook have a list of people whom they are going to sell it to. Mm-hmm. Those guys, in turn, would resell it. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a Senate hearing somewhere around in 2018.
That's right.
You know, the Senate hearing was for almost 3 days, I think. Now, initially, it was supposed to be called as Facebook Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have proper documentation. I'll send it to you guys via email if you want. It tells you who are the people who will be, so Facebook is going to issue these coins to a certain number of people. They have like a group of 100 companies. Only these 100 companies will be in a position to go ahead and issue these coins. Now, to be honest, that could be a massive threat to Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. If you were to ask me what is the one thing that could, you know, take down Bitcoin, the answer is Facebook DM. Mm. And, you know, because they were not happy with the US Senate, they have set up the entire regulation in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they are like the American. Yeah,
So they can't do anything about it. The government can't touch it.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to Mr. A and to Ina who have joined us on live stream.
All right.
I'd like to ask you a question about security. You know, this is not protected by the Securities Investment Protection Corporation. And I know that I remember there was a hit in May of 2019, I think it was, when $40 million of Bitcoin was stolen, right, from high net worth accounts. I know that Binance, put the money back, but what is your feeling in general about security? And how could you protect yourself?
The only way, and it's very simple, you know, how Bitcoin works is there is a private key and there is a public key.
Right.
The private key, all it is, you know, a series of numbers, but these numbers are derived from a 12 words. So to backtrack, when you want to buy Bitcoin for the first time, you go to a wallet or you go to hardware or put your wallet, the system will give you 12 words. Now, these 12 words are your Bitcoin, essentially, because if you lose them, it's gone. Mm-hmm. Or if someone gets access to that, it's gone.
Right. And wasn't that guy looking through the dump?
That's right.
Because he lost his coins. That happened not long ago. Yeah. Yep.
It's funny you ask that because I was just calculating today. In order for someone to replicate your 12 words, in order for someone to, you know, try to guess these 12 words, with the world's fastest computer, and if every human being on the planet uses the world's fastest computer, it's going to take 10.6 billion years to guess those 12 words.
Understood. 12 words is a lot. I agree. It's not one.
It's a lot of words to try to figure out.
So the security, what you're talking about is, you know, it's next to impossible for someone to hack. And if it is hacked, it's gone. You just can't retrieve it.
Right. Right. So, but in this case, Binance did pay them back because they wanted to keep
reputation.
Yeah, they kept them going. Yeah.
So who originally started Bitcoins? Where did it originate from?
There was a mysterious person called Satoshi Nakamoto.
I figured you were going to say that.
So what he did was, you know, in fact, before Bitcoin, there were a couple of projects before Bitcoin as well. Mm-hmm. So there was something called as B-Money. Have you guys ever heard of B-Money? Or
no.
There were a couple of projects. There was one thing called DigiCash. They all worked like Bitcoin, but they all had one problem called as the double spend problem. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure if you guys have heard that terminology called double spend. All double spend is, you know, I can spend the same money twice.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, don't say that's not good.
Well, I want to learn how to do that. Okay, so I want to spend the same money twice.
No.
Yeah. Now, if you listen to the interviews now, and now you might hear people talking about the word double spend. So with double spend, you know, you could essentially send the same money twice. Now, Bitcoin solved that. So there was a mysterious person called Satoshi Nakamoto. There was a website where he published his white paper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this website had a series of email addresses to whom he sent across this white paper. Oh. And that's how, and there is a guy called Hal Finney. He was a cryptographer. And this is an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
The moment, he's dead, but he's in a cryo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Wow.
So in 2014, and ever since that time, the communication from Satoshi Nakamoto has stopped as well. So even after Bitcoin was launched, he used to keep sending people emails and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a correlation or timing that the moment he
is
put in
that
a
is mysterious.
Chamber. Now,
I feel like Twitter, I'm in a crypto thing too. You know.
Few Sometimes years I ago, you know. Way. Twitter had a debate whether they should delete the profile of people who had passed away.
Uh-huh.
So they were thinking of deleting. They're not so Hal Finney's Twitter account. I believe it's still active. They were like, you know, what if he were to come back again and give them the code? Now, you don't know that he has over 1 million Bitcoins, right? He sent the first transaction that he did. He sent 1 million bitcoins to himself, Satoshi Nakamoto.
Mm-hmm.
So the first transaction, and if you go to Bitcoin Explorer, you can actually check that he sent 1 million
That's
bitcoins
outrageous.
To himself.
Hey, I have a house about he could buy in Greenwich.
And the second Bitcoin he sent was to this person called Hal Finney.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So
interesting.
It just brings a little bit
wild.
Of...
I think it adds to the aura to have some mystery, and you don't really want to be known. That's not just needs to stay anonymous. That's just
I like that part of it where they don't know who you are. I like that.
Yeah.
I think even money exchange through the United States should be that way, but they want to see everything.
Absolutely.
They want to tax everything.
They validate the source wasn't, you know, nebulous.
And one thing good about Bitcoin, I think, if you owe the IRS any money, they can't touch it.
Oh, Lord.
And I love that. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They can't do absolutely anything.
I love it. And, well, one thing, though, it's funny because I did my income tax and I only got back a little bit of money, but it's asked me on my income tax return, do I own any Bitcoin?
Like they're going to know how they're going
to
know.
Well, even if I did, I wouldn't tell them. But I'm just saying, I found that interesting that they want to know that.
Absolutely. And this is where, you know, your cryptocurrency exchange kicks in. So the less interaction you have with your cryptocurrency exchange, the better.
Right. Stay quiet.
Because, yes. So one of the drawback with Coinbase is that I think Coinbase has a tie up with the US government and they are willing to provide them details of customers, you know, who have bought or sold or traded Bitcoins with them.
Yep.
So similar to Coinbase or Gemini, which is centralized exchange, there are also decentralized exchanges wherein there is no KYC. And it just hits the point that you just said, you know, you can buy, sell, trade Bitcoins over there.
Yep. You know, what made you start into it? I'm curious.
I think in 2013, I was in Manchester, England, and I was just reading. I like to read a lot of stuff, so I was reading an article by McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
And it mentioned something about Bitcoin, and I was like, this sounds like computer money. So I was like, just checking about Google. And, you know, this is a funny, and this is an interesting bit. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about a guy called Roger Ver.
No.
He's the key proponent of Bitcoin Cash. Now, if you ask anyone about Roger Ver, they would just bash you and they would just say trash talks about Roger Ver. Mm-hmm. Now, back in 2012, I very specifically remember on YouTube, he sent $100 worth of Bitcoin live to any listener could actually just swipe. And I very specifically remember there was a guy from Australia, you know, who had cashed it out. And I, if I'm not mistaken, that guy would have had close to $140 million by now.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and this is I'm not sure if the video is still online or not. But now,
so is that that's what you read in the beginning, right? That would have got me interested. That would have got me interested quick.
And this just reminded me, in case you guys want to earn free Bitcoin, follow this guy called Roger Ver. What he does is every time he does an interview, he gives you $1 worth of Bitcoin Cash. Now, Bitcoin Cash is different to Bitcoin.
Right. Yes.
And if you go to YouTube, there is a video of him. There's still a video of him in 2011 where Bitcoin, I think, was less than $10. The video is still there. And he said that you know, the price of Bitcoin would go to more than $10,000. And people are literally laughing at it at that. And the video is still there. They often call him the Bitcoin Jesus.
I included my email if you could send me anything. And I'm really interested. I'm going to look into this and see. I would be happy with one Bitcoin, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's my email, thiswapdoesntlie@gmail.com.
And Blockchain DXP, if someone wanted to get in touch with you for some training or some consulting.
Put it up on the screen.
Would that be Bitcoin? No.
Info at blockchain.
Great.
BlockchainDXP.com. And I just want to mention just a few things before you end it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about Bitcoin, there are just five basic elements, and this is something you might have heard. You know, Bitcoin is open source, so all the codes of how Bitcoin works is completely open.
All right.
You know, you don't need to check
it out. As opposed to the Apple world, which is completely closed, just saying.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
And if you guys want to create your own coin, let's say Podbean coin, you can do that in just 10 minutes. It just takes 10 minutes as long as you're in a position to build your community. And if you can convince them to buy it for $50,000 or so,
I'll try it. Yeah.
Felix, his following is extraordinary. You never know.
Yeah, I'm going to try that.
I think you should read up on it and make
the choice. And listen, anybody out there wants to donate a Bitcoin to me,
then we'll offer the first $100 to blockchain.
Exactly.
You're first. We'll give that to you.
I have my own PayPal address. This WAP doesn't lie. At Gmail.
Crazy.
Use my email and send me a Bitcoin through PayPal. I'll be happy.
That'd be great.
We might want to open up an account with Coinbase or Robinhood. Maybe Robinhood.
I'm going to try. You know, this has to be one of the most interesting podcasts I've had since I started podcasting. I have to tell you, you're the most informed person I've ever spoke to on Bitcoins.
Really extraordinary. And
unbelievable.
Be glad to promote your consulting. Here it is.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome. That's awesome. I appreciate it, you guys, as well.
I do. And listen, I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I hope you become a billionaire. And if that happens, listen, don't forget me, okay? Once you're a billionaire and I see you on, what is that? Shark Tank. You ever watch Shark Tank?
Yeah, I love that show. Yeah.
I'll see you on that show. Don't forget me, okay?
Well, in all seriousness, Blockchain. Oh, I may ask you to put a series together for real estate agents in some of the more affluent markets. I work for Sotheby's, and
hey, that's a good thing.
It might be a great marriage of your knowledge and your offering to the agents in our firms.
Yeah, I do that currently with few companies in Dubai.
Yep.
So there's a real estate. Yeah,
they would because it's up and coming here, and the average selling price of a home that we sell right now is $4.8 million in Greenwich, Connecticut. So, this comes up more often than not, and my agents are terrified. So, you'll probably hear from me.
That'd be great. Brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So be safe and be well.
You guys, nice talking to you guys. You have a great
day. Fantastic.
Very nice to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you as well. Take care, guys.
Bye bye. Wow, wasn't that fantastic?
To me, it allays my fears a little bit. I feel a little more confident in terms of understanding and how the risk compares and contrasts to that of the stock market.
I think anybody who wants to know anything about Bitcoins, contact this person. And I'm telling you, this person enlightened me.
I'm telling you, my agents would love this.
I didn't know half the things that this person is so knowledgeable about Bitcoins.
Very plain in his explanation, easily understandable
Of course.
Idiots.
I think it was fantastic. And I'm going to look into a lot of things that blockchain has said. I want to get into it, and this person enlightened me somewhat about it, a lot about it.
I'm serious about my agents. I think it'd be great. A great series.
Well, especially if somebody's going to come to you and buy a house with Bitcoin.
Well, so far we've only got lawyers involved, but agents need to understand and appreciate what this is about. Absolutely.
Well, in the beginning, anytime something new comes out, you always read all the negativity.
Well, nervousness, anxiety.
Well, I could understand, but sure. It goes along with anything in life.
Yes.
And let alone just tell somebody that does not know anything about Bitcoins, or it could be anything you're going to invest in, even the stock market. If you start talking about it to your friends and they know nothing about it, of course they're going to be negative about it.
Right. Joey, I'm wondering if on Facebook, if you can give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down that you learned something about Bitcoin today that was useful.
Well, I learned a lot, and I want to thank Blockchain for jumping in. Mm-hmm. And once I get into this further, I'm going to ask this person to come back again.
Sure.
I'm excited because I want to earn my first Bitcoin, my first one, my very first Bitcoin.
I think we should go to Robinhood and open an account.
We're going to do that tonight.
Maybe tomorrow when I'm
feeling
straight.
And maybe one of the listeners out there that are billionaires can send me a Bitcoin to get started.
You're so funny.
And make me happy. Okay. And listen, you could donate to my podcast to keep it running. If you like what you're hearing, I'm registered with PayPal through my email address that's posted up. thiswapdoesntlie@gmail.com. We only have a couple of minutes left. We got about 8 minutes left. If anybody else wants to call in and chime in about Bitcoin.
Well, another thing I learned about Bitcoin is it is a global, currency, eh? Yeah. So if you really want to be confident in it, you're probably going to have to start reading the Wall Street Journal every day because it's global. It's not just stupid Biden.
Well, you could also go online. There's other things too. There's a lot of thieves out there also that
you
have
bet.
Fake websites.
Absolutely.
That I've learned myself about that.
Yes.
And I think the main reason why the United States, especially the United States government, does not like cryptocurrency, period, is because they can't monitor it.
I personally think government is probably owns a few Bitcoins themselves.
Well, they're not going to tell you that.
I think they must.
Well, listen, they own Fort Knox, right?
Fort Knox is just filled with gold now. It doesn't back anything.
But nobody knows how much gold is in Fort Knox. Why is that? Why can't the government put out a yearly report and say we have 50,000 tons of gold in Fort Knox? Why? Why is that?
Because that's going to invite curiosity and someone's going to try and go and get
it. Listen, you couldn't get in that. That's the only bank vault,
yes,
I think, in history that no one will ever get into.
I have to agree.
Do you know where it is?
Inside of a mountain.
No. It's at Fort Knox. Do you know what's in Fort Knox?
I don't know. Military,
there's
I guess.
A whole army battalions there. They have tanks, everything.
I'll tell you a quick story. Long story. I work for Pitney Bowes. And guess what? Stamps are money.
Of course.
So after many government clearances, I got to see the stockpile of stamps, which are money like
Bitcoin.
How many
did they have?
It was in Iron Mountain. There was such a place. It was unbelievable.
How many stamps they have?
Oh, my God. I have no idea. It was sheets and sheets, tons and tons of paper.
They're probably not worth a crap right now.
No, stamps are money. It's another currency. Just saying.
Well, I still want to know how much is in Fort Knox.
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
Do they add to it or what it is? It is.
I don't know. Do they take it away? Do they add? What do they do? I understand, though, that there's gold in there since Fort Knox was built, which is, what, in the 20s?
Lots of different kinds of currency. You know, in Sicily, guess what a currency might be?
What?
Well,
a lira.
Oh, lira. No. In some places, currency could be olives. It could be olive oil. It could be, in other places, Africa, it's cocoa beans.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to trade than U.S. dollars.
What I love about the Bitcoin itself so much, screw the government.
That's how blockchain started, right? I thought that was
interesting. I love it. The IRS can't touch it.
Nor the Chinese government.
No one can touch it. That's what I love about it. Unlike money, especially United States money.
Yes.
Look what stupid Joe Biden is doing. Come on, he's ruining the country.
I agree.
Spending trillions and trillions of dollars. You know what made me really laugh was, and we have a couple of minutes left, is the bill he passed for the people that are hurting. You know, he gave everybody $1,400,
right?
Who was making a certain amount of money.
And blockchain said he could have given that in Bitcoin.
Well,
shout out to Kairos who's joined us in the live studio.
Ho ho! But I understand only like 10% of the trillions of dollars only went for aid.
Of course.
Help the people, the United States.
Oh, the $1.9 trillion that was passed? Yeah, you should see
and
what we're
trying to
get.
And now they want a Green New Deal.
Sure.
A Green New Deal for what? For what?
I think the idea is environmental efforts, isn't it? I don't know.
Like blockchain said that Joe Biden is affecting the price of Bitcoin. And wait till he taxes the rich. Mm-hmm. You watch the Bitcoin starting dropping. They will drop.
No, it won't. The rich will take their money out of the USD and put it in Bitcoin.
And wait till the oil stops flowing.
Well, that's another commodity. That's a whole nother
conversation. Well, that's going to drop the Bitcoin price. But you know what I think? What blockchain said is interesting. I think the Bitcoin's going to go up right now. What is it, 50, 60 grand?
Well, it bounces every day. It was up to 65. I think we're at 50 today.
I believe it's going to go near a couple of hundred thousand.
The most worrisome part is we're almost at the 21 million. So then what?
Well, you heard what blockchain said after that. From mining, you're going to get.
Then the only way you make money is from fees. Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
And they didn't mention what the fee would be.
Well, remember what he said. The fee is based on speed, not quantity, but I don't know how you control the speed.
Well, I don't know either. That's right. another time for another show.
Right.
But it was very interesting. I want to thank blockchain for all the help. And remember, blockchain, when you hit that, 500,000 mark, you can kick me a Bitcoin. Get me started.
He's joking.
I'm serious. That'll make me happy.
His advice and information was more valuable than anything tonight. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes. And please send the Bitcoin. All right, guys. Next week, we're on live every Friday. I want you guys to share my podcast. I'm asking everybody out there, share me, follow me. I need some new listeners. This WAP doesn't lie. And believe me, next week, we're going to hit the old Joe Biden trail of all his screw-ups.
Or maybe something else.
No, we're not going something else. we're going to tear this man a new, you know what?
I would maybe,
because he needs a new one.
I would think maybe we could talk about Harris's accomplishments or lack thereof to date. That might be of interest to others.
Well, the only compliments. Am I saying that right?
Accomplishments.
Yeah, yes. Got you saying it wrong.
I don't know.
Is her knee pads.
Oh, right.
Well, you know, listen, when you're fooling around with a 69-year-old man and you're 21 years old, something wrong with you mentally.
I saw a picture of her and her husband. They finally moved into whatever the house is for the vice president.
Oh, please.
And that was really quite something. Please
put up some more fences because they're going to need them. When they start taking away people's Second Amendment rights, they're going to need more than a fence. Believe me.
Buy stock and guns. Gun sales are through the roof. And yeah, so
that's
is the
right.
Price.
Everybody out there, buy guns and ammunition.
But the price before the price goes up
because
even more.
That is your right. And this is, I'm going to close with this. Listen, your Second Amendment right is not about the right to bear arms. Mm-hmm. It's about saving your freedom from a government that has went bad.
So,
and this government is going in the bad direction.
So buy Bitcoin, hide your money there.
So that's why you have the right to bear arms against tyranny. Mm-hmm. It says shall not be infringed. So that means the government can never infringe your Second Amendment right. Shall not be infringed. That's what the part they don't understand. It's not about owning a gun that could shoot 10 or 100 bullets. It's not about that. Like Joe Biden says, you don't need a gun that shoots 100 bullets to go hunting. This is not about hunting. The Second Amendment wasn't created for hunting. It was created against tyranny.
Maybe we should move to New Hampshire.
So, like Ann said, buy Bitcoins. And so the government doesn't know where your money's going.
And find a gun store that accepts Bitcoin.
That's right.
Buy yourself a weapon.
Buy guns. Okay. There's a gun store in the state of Connecticut mm-hmm. in Waterbury
yes.
called the Gun
Store.
Store.
Yes.
You tell them that this WAP Doesn't Lie sent you there. They have the best
variety
selection. Of weapons.
Yes, indeed.
In this gun shop that I have ever seen. I purchased a Smith & Wesson 500 Magnum from them. No other gun shop in the state of Connecticut had one. They had like three or four of them. They have CZs. All you gun enthusiasts know what a CZ is.
All legal, all
best
the paperwork,
firearms.
All that garbage. They have
every kind of firearm you could think this store has.
Pay for it with the Bitcoin.
All kinds of optics. It's called the Gun Store. It's in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Yes.
Tell them that Felix sent you. And when you're there, tell them to send me a Bitcoin, okay? At thiswapdoesntlie@gmail.com.
Yes.
That's my PayPal, too. So I'm waiting for the Bitcoin.
Okay, guys.
All right, guys. Be safe.
Bye, everyone.
When you're out there, stay away from people. Because, first of all, people are sick and they suck, okay?
Sick and suck.
And don't trust anybody. No one. Only the money in your back pocket. That's the only thing you could trust in life is the money in your back pocket. You can't even trust your own family. Believe me, I've been there. Stay well, people.
Bye.
And what I'm going to do is play our favorite out song. I want to give one last shout out to Blockchain.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Blockchain. You know your stuff.
You're going to be hearing from us.
Good God, you know it.
Bye-bye.
Woo! Facebook, see ya. I don't know why when I hit end, it doesn't end on Facebook.
Because it's behind.
Yo!
Facebook is behind. It's a lag.
All right, guys. I'm Podbean. Follow me. Share my podcast, people. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
We might jump in this weekend.
Oh.
Maybe Saturday we're going to jump in quick.
Sunday night's good. Always good.
Well, I don't know. Saturday, I think, is pushing it a little. I think we're going to try it.
Okay.
Look for us. Ciao, people. Be well.